Welcome back. We're joined by Congressman Dana Rohrabacher. He has been representing the 48th District of California for now 13 terms in the United States Congress. He is a senior member of its House Committee on Foreign Affairs and is now the chairman of the Subcommittee on Europe, Eurasia, and Emerging Threats. And in those regards, Congressman, there is a great deal to talk about. Welcome back. It's good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Frank.
Let's talk initially, if we can, about an initiative that you have taken in recent days to try to free a fellow by the name of Dr. Shaquille Afridi from jail in Pakistan, where he is likely otherwise to rot for the rest of his life. Remind us who Shaquille Afridi is and why you've taken up his cause.
Well, the fact is I have to remind some people who Dr. Afridi is underscores the problem. The fact is that Dr. Afridi was instrumental in giving us the information we needed to bring Osama bin Laden, the murderer of 3,000 Americans, to bring him to justice. Mm-hmm. Dr. Afridi was the one who verified that it was Osama bin Laden in that compound, and then our SEALs could go in and do their job. Well, Dr. Afridi was left behind. Instead of bringing him with us, well, actually, they offered to bring him with us, but they wouldn't bring. They didn't make the arrangements to bring his family. Mm. So Dr. Afridi, this brave soul, stayed with his family, and he was arrested by the Pakistani ISI, and now languishes in prison. And his family is going down into despair and depravity. Yeah. And it's we've just basically turned our back on one of the great heroes of our time. And it's a travesty.
It is indeed. And Congressman Rohrabacher, one of the things I've never understood, and maybe you can shed some light on this, is how we actually compounded his plight by confirming, as I recall, in the person of your former colleague, Leon Panetta, the Secretary of Defense at the time, that he had indeed, he was at the head at the time of the raid, of course, the Director of Central Intelligence, but I think subsequently in his Defense Department job, he said, yeah, this guy worked for us. What was that about?
I don't know the exact circumstances of what caused the secretary to actually say that, but he did, and it was obviously picked up by the Pakistanis, who then who now have him have declared him a traitor, and I say he languishes in a dungeon. This is a message for the Pakistanis. Anybody who hopes America, we're not, you know, we're going to throw him in jail, and the United States won't do anything
right
for us. And on top of that, guess what? Now we're still talking about giving billions of dollars, or at least hundreds of millions of dollars, of aid to Pakistan.
Yeah.
This is insanity.
Isn't that really the place to go with this? Is not simply a resolution, deserving as it is,
but
make this funding contingent on freeing a man who
helped
us.
Well, I have been having a difficulty getting Republican leadership because of their recommendations from, of course, the intelligence community and the foreign affairs community. Oh, don't make a mess now. Don't make a big stink now. We'll use quiet diplomacy. This has been going on for months and months, 6 months, and they haven't done anything. He's still languishing away. So I'm having trouble even getting the resolution to the floor. But what does come to the floor is a foreign aid budget that includes hundreds of millions of dollars for Pakistan, and I'm going to insist on an amendment saying no aid at all to Pakistan, which he shouldn't be doing in the first place, but at least till Dr. Afridi is freed, and once we do that, we can honor this man the way he deserves to be honored.
Well, good on you, Congressman Dana Rohrabacher. I hope this will succeed, and needless to say, I hope that you will keep us apprised of your progress, because this really is a worthy cause, and needless to say, an insight into the double game that the Pakistanis have been playing for so many years. Congressman, let me turn to another part of your portfolio, Eurasia being within the ambit of your subcommittee. We've, of course, been given a sort of a geography lesson of late of different parts of that portfolio that most of us have never heard of before, Chechnya and Dagestan and Kyrgyzstan. places that have been associated with the Tsarnaev family's travels before they came to the United States. What should we be thinking about the extent to which in these parts of the world, and indeed in our own country, we now are confronting what Hillary Clinton told your committee on her way out the door is a global jihad?
Yeah, what we have to understand is that for years, we have taken a huge chunk of the world, and it just hasn't even been in on our radar screen. And that's Central Asia, including the places you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Well, now with the Boston Marathon, with two young men who come from that area, and who two young men who were actually raised a large portion of their life in the United States, to know that the forces at play, there are forces at play in that region in Central Asia that twisted their minds to the point that in the name of their religion, they were willing to go out and murder innocent people, even children. And so we have a fanaticism, a radical Islamic fanaticism that couldn't succeed in Central Asia unless we are willing to work with those forces that could thwart this, and it would change the nature of the world. The equilibrium of the world would then change, because radical Islam would have its power base in a huge chunk of the planet. Yeah. So what happened in Boston has to be a wake-up call about the forces that are at play in the world, and I am using it. Frank, and you and I may have a disagreement on this, but I say we need to work with the Russians. And toward this, we need to work with the Russians to combat both China and radical Islam. Mm.
Well, we probably agree on some aspects of that, Congressman. We certainly would have preferred to have had more help from the Russians in identifying and making the case against these guys. But I think there's no question that our blindness to the threat that you've described, I call it Sharia, you call it radical Islam, whatever we call it, it is clearly emanating from the practitioners of the orthodoxy of this faith. And you're absolutely right, it needs to be taken very much to heart and countered effectively. Let me turn to one last thing, if we could, quickly. Congressman, you also are responsible for emerging threats on the Foreign Affairs Committee. One of those that has risen up rather dramatically in recent days is, of course, the prospect of chemical weapons being unleashed either directly by the Assad regime or perhaps by falling into the hands of al-Qaeda or others of these Sharia-adherent Islamists in Syria. What is your prognosis for that threat, that emerging threat, and what do you think, if anything, the United States should be doing about it, since the president said it crosses a red line?
Well, I would say that destroying people who are in battle with machine guns is just as deadly on the people who are being killed as using poison gas. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that I don't see that. I don't. First of all, they may have poison gas, they may not. But the fact that they're mass slaughtering each other, targeting civilians, both sides seem to be engaged in a brutal no holds barred war with the other side. Plus, each side has groups within it that are just, we don't want to have anything to do with.
Right.
The side against Assad, we brought in al-Qaeda and some of these radical Sunnis who've been murdering Americans. And on the other side, you've got the Islamic mullah dictatorship from Iran played a major role in propping Assad up. And then to complicating the matters, Assad is one of the protectors of the Christian community and other minority communities in Syria. So the situation is so confused. I think we should just stay out of it. And I don't think we should worry about as much about one of those groups getting poison gas. As we should be worried about having America drawn into yet another conflict.
Well, I agree with you completely on this one. Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, thank you for your contributions to our show today and for your service to our country over so many years, dating back to our time together with President Ronald Reagan. It's deeply appreciated, sir. I hope you'll come back to us again soon, as unfortunately all of these stories are going to be continuing to unfold. Thank